So that Attorney General accuses Speaker of Parliament of disrespecting the Supreme Court as rift between Arban Babing and the Apex Court deepens, with his lawyers failing to file their case in vacant seat controversy.
Full representation for Speaker of Parliament. We note also that the Speaker of Parliament has not filed any statement of case or memorandum of issues despite the opportunity given for them to be filed.
Respectfully, I think that if the first final came before the court at last adjourned, represented by counsel, counsel made representations before the court to file submissions at a certain point in time, elects not to do so, and then for no reason at all, elects also not to appear before the court. Clearly, that is disrespect to the court.
We have fresh details on the majority leader's attempt to engage the speaker in the desperate attempt to end the impasse.
But Mr. Speaker should not think that he's a king. He's an emperor. He's not an emperor. He's a Democrat. What he's doing is wrong.
I went to his residence two occasions. They said he was not available. Later, I communicated to that prominent chief. The prominent chief reached out to him. He picked his call, but he didn't pick my call.
And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. The Attorney General Godfrey Eboadame is tonight accusing the Speaker of Parliament of disrespecting the Supreme Court. The rift between Arban Babing and the Apex Court appears today to have deepened, also because before the court, his lawyers failed to file their case in this vacant seat controversy. The Chief Justice was clear that this happened despite many opportunities they've been giving to do so. The court will now deliver its judgment tomorrow on this case without any input from the speaker. My colleague has been following this pretty closely. Ekweko Asante joins me in the studio with more on this developing story. How did the conspicuous absence of the speaker come up in court today?
So right at the start of the hearing, as usual in court, parties will have to get up and be actually acknowledged. And throughout these proceedings in the past, when these interlocutory matters were discussed, the Speaker of Parliament himself was represented by members from the Legal Department of Parliament, and then the legal representation was Thaddeus Sory. So when they mentioned the first defendant, there was absolutely no one on his feet. The court official communicated that to the justices that there was no legal representation from the Speaker of Parliament. The other lawyers introduced themselves. Then the Chief Justice herself came in again and then asked, is there any representation for the Speaker? No one got up. And the Chief Justice actually scribbled a few things and then came back and said there was absolutely no legal representation from the Speaker, despite several opportunities given him also to file certain processes.
There's nobody here for the Speaker of Parliament. First defendant. All right, by court, no representation for Speaker of Parliament. We note also that the Speaker of Parliament has not filed any statement of case or memorandum of issues despite the opportunity given for them to be filed. This matter is for hearing this morning. Can we hear counsel for the plaintiff?
So is a speaker sending a message to the Supreme Court with his absence? We'll get you some clarity on that pretty shortly. The Attorney General was not buying the Chief Justice's soft position on the matter. He wanted more. He wanted sanctions because he believed that the speaker is disrespecting the court.
Well, yes, that's exactly what he did when the arguments had been heard and the court was almost about to go on recess for the judgment tomorrow. Godfrey Dame was on his feet, describing the conduct of the speaker and his lawyer, Thaddeus Sory, not showing up, not offering any explanation at all as to why exactly they were absent, as disrespectful of the court. Listen to the interaction between Godfrey Dame and members of the bench.
Well, of course, being entirely the prerogative of the first defendant to file anything at all, respectfully, I think that if the first defendant came before the court at last adjourned, represented by counsel, counsel made representations before the court to file submissions at a certain point in time, elects not to do so, and then for no reason at all, elects also not to appear before the court. Clearly, that is disrespect to the court. I made this observation because I'm the Attorney General, leader of the bar, and all that. Such conduct, with all respect, should not be tolerated by the court.
Leave it to us, Mr. Attorney General. Leave it to us. I would rather advise that as a member of a bar for which you are the leader, you should reach out to him at the close of this proceedings to find out if everything is all right.
My lord, indeed, my friend, the Chief said that he reached out to him on Friday to find out if processes are done by him. So we've done a bit. Hardly did we expect that he would not even show courtesy to the court by not showing up.
Honorable Attorney General, I think at the last agenda, if my memory serves me right, you also said, when we asked that you should file processes, he said he had instructions to deal with the matters that he did, and then
he will go for further instructions.
So if he has not been employed again.
No, but in my recollection is that that was before the firm agreement and then statement as to when process should be filed by court. That was before he came. But that's fine.
We have a lot
to deal with. That's fine.
Perfect. Yes.
Right.
So if we retire early,
right,
because of the public interest in the matter, we should be able to serve the people in right. whose sovereignty resides.
Precise. Yes. I agree. It's perfect. I'm grateful.
I get a view there that the Supreme Court did not take that invitation to be harder than they've been on the subject of the speaker's absence and his lawyer's absence. As again, they rightly pointed out, nobody knows if Tadio Sori is still in the employ of the speaker
of parliament, yes. or not. They didn't go into that, of course, except, of course, if they will be minded to comment on that in the judgment that they will be delivering tomorrow. Apart from that, they did not want to take the invitation that was extended by the Attorney General.
Let's talk about the substantive matter itself. Yes. What was the AG's argument on this?
So, according to Godfrey Eboadame, the Speaker of Parliament simply did not have the power to conduct himself the way he did in Parliament on the 18th of October when he purported to declare 4 seats vacant. He said, upon a careful reading of the Constitution, starting from Article 93, that talks about the Parliament of Ghana and all the issues therein, the Speaker of Parliament simply did unlawfully upset the constitutional dispensation as we're enjoying currently, Evans.
I'll refer the court to first Article 93, clause 1 of the Constitution, which sets out the composition of Parliament. It says there shall be a Parliament which shall consist of not less than 140 elected members. This should be read as submit respectfully with Article 47, clause 1 of the Constitution, which says Ghana shall be divided into as many constituencies for the purpose of election of members of Parliament as the Electoral Commission may prescribe, and each constituency shall be represented by one member of Parliament. So the combined effect of these provisions is that insofar as Parliament is constituted by a certain number of MPs or members of Parliament representing those constituencies, the composition of Parliament shall not be altered except as prescribed for in the Constitution. So no person or authority, with all respect, has the power to make any decision at all or construe the Constitution in a way which will alter or change the composition of Parliament except as stated in the Constitution. So I say that the point, the matters before the court, apart from the meaning of Article 97, clause 1, paragraph G and H, also have an effect on the composition of Parliament, as prescribed for by the Constitution. That's about GSC stated that in relation to this matter, we need to remind ourselves that there is no parliamentary supremacy under our Constitution. Rather, it is the Constitution that is supreme. As the interpreter of that Constitution, this court's view of the meaning of a constitutional provision cannot be preempted by that of any other agency of the state. In short, a provision in the Constitution means what the Supreme Court says it means, and not what even Parliament has declared it means. I end on this note. The Supreme Court's power to interpret the Constitution has been long upheld from Bedeman Awuno Williams, 1970.
The majority leader, Fanny Marken, was there. He was represented by the former Attorney General, Joe Gatte. What was his position on this?
Took the position that if you look at the Constitution and the way the 97.1 GNH, which has become the subject of this dispute, is couched, it is clear that it does not operate to simply strip a member of parliament of his seat or her seat simply because that person had decided to run in the next parliament on another platform other than which he came on the 8th parliament, and that the Speaker of Parliament purported to do something that he simply did not have the power to, and that a constitutional interpretation, if it's properly done, will come to the conclusion that the Speaker was wrong.
Any rule of interpretation that is used to interpret Article 97.1 and 8 will lead to one conclusion with the accuracy of mathematics.
No.
That conclusion being that the intention of the framers of the Constitution was that the act that grounded the vacation of office
Did anyone vacate any office?
Pardon me?
Did anyone vacate any office? Let's stay true to the records.
Yes.
Please stay true to the records.
But on the ruling of the Supreme Court, that certain acts should be deemed to be a vacation of the office. The ruling of the Speaker, sorry. That certain acts...
Please listen to yourself, Mr. Gatti.
Yes, please. The ruling of the Speaker...
Mr. Gatti, listen to yourself. And speak concisely.
Okay.
We don't want any confusion this morning.
And my Lord, therefore, Article 97, 1G and H will only take effect, or will only take effect if the act that is the person, if the act that is the person leaving a party by which was elected to join another party, or to remain, or to become independent, and seeks to remain in parliament with that new political coloration, so to speak.
Well, that there is Joe Gatti, former Attorney General. He was lawyer today in court for the Majority Leader, Alexander Fenyomarkin. The case is back tomorrow before the Supreme Court, where we expect that the Supreme Court will deliver judgment on this very controversial matter, with or without the Speaker's case. Whether he files or not, the Supreme Court, we expect, will proceed with the judgment. Well, already what happened in court today is attracting some criticism. Weighing in on what has happened today is Kweku Ansah-Sari, who is a former director of the Ghana School of Law. He says the Supreme Court should not have entertained this case in the first place.
You recall that 3 weeks ago, on one of your shows, I did say that the Speaker had been misjoined, that the proper person who ought to have been dragged before the Supreme Court was the Attorney General, because under Article 88, Clause 5 of the 1992 Constitution, being a civil suit, the nominal defendant is the and must be the Attorney General. Now, subsequently, the Attorney General, was served and he appeared. So we are back to square one. On the day that the application was heard, even though it was ex parte, there was no proper person, before the Supreme Court, apart from the applicant. And therefore, I have explained on countless occasions that the Supreme Court's jurisdiction had not been properly invoked because there was only one person. And since the Speaker was not there, and the Attorney General too had not been served, the Supreme Court aired in the proceeding to hear the application. Now, I would have thought that today would have provided the Supreme Court with the opportunity to undo all that it has done. They should have accepted the Attorney General's explanation that nominally it is the Attorney General who constitutionally must be answerable and not the Speaker. Now, it will be up to the Attorney General to then point out the conflict of interest that the majority leader is part of the executive, and therefore it will be, it will create a situation of the executive, being, the plaintiff, and the executive being the defendant.
Is it accurate, Mr. Ansah-Sari, that the majority leader, as we know it, is a member of parliament? He's not a minister of state, so he is not part of the executive. And so can it be said to be a conflict of interest?
The majority leader is a member of the government business.
Yes.
But the majority leader, being a leader of government business, by extension, is a member of the executive.
Mm.
Because, whose business? It is not, the parliamentary business. It is the business of the executive. And he is the spokesperson. That is why he's the leader. You see, and if we don't want our democracy to get lost, we have to play by the constitutional rules. It was a clear case of a procedural lapse. So, the combined effect of what has happened is that whatever the Supreme Court will do will still be a nullity. You see, the confusion is getting worse, confounded. The first time I used the expression constitutional lawlessness, we are now seeing, you know, the crisis. People are saying there's no crisis. But what is going on now is a complete mess. You see, it was a procedural lapse.
Mm. So, Mr. Nsasare, this, many have said, the Attorney General himself has said in court, that this is a constitutional interpretation matter. And he makes the point that, I mean, he should have been the only one to have been the defendant in this case. The Speaker of Parliament was wrongly joined.
I agree with him. That's what the Constitution says.
The court did not take that into consideration. They allowed the Speaker of Parliament to remain the defendant in the matter. And they have proceeded to hear the case. They're about to go to judgment. In fact, 9 a.m. on Tuesday, the judgment is going to be delivered. The court has been able to sit properly, so-called, and has heard arguments from both parties, the plaintiff and the defendant, this time the Attorney General. The only person they haven't heard from is the Speaker of Parliament, who perhaps himself has opted out. And the court hasn't the court done the right thing by hearing from these two parties and zooming into judgment?
The Speaker hasn't opted out. The Speaker hasn't opted out.
And so that there is a former director of the Ghana Law School talking to us about what happened in court today, his views on that, very well known. We'll stay with this a while longer because also today, as you may have noticed, his lawyer was in court, but he was there himself. Alexander Nathaniel Market, the majority leader, was there, and he granted an interview to the media. And he said quite a bit, Kwaku, because all this while we know there have been calls both within the senior members of the MPP in Parliament and outside that Nathaniel Markin should engage more, should consult more. He's been disclosing his own desperate attempts to try and get the Speaker to sit, to agree some sort of a truce. And he says that he paints a picture. The Speaker may be ignoring him.
Yes, Evans. In fact, it was only last week, Wednesday, that the Speaker of Parliament himself said that he had not been reached by any member of the NPP or the majority side with this raging controversy. Alexander Nathaniel Markin says he has gone to the official residence of the Speaker on a couple of occasions. He has been rebuffed. He has been told the Speaker of Parliament is not available. In fact, at one point in time, he went to the Speaker's office. The Speaker did see him and said that he should call his colleague, the minority leader, and that two of them should come for a meeting. The next thing he knows, the Speaker of Parliament has gone into his car and left. He said the Speaker of Parliament should not conduct himself as an emperor. As far as he's concerned, he has done all he can to try and get the Speaker of Parliament at least to sit down with him and listen to him. All those efforts have been futile.
Some of the NDC guys are trying to suggest that expressing my view on his conduct amount to disrespect. Let me state it clear that I will be the last person, I repeat, I, Kwame Afenyo Market, will be the last person to disrespect Mr. Speaker. But Mr. Speaker should not think that he's a king. He's an emperor. He's not an emperor. He's a Democrat. Therefore, he shouldn't be too sensitive to divergent views and opposing views. What he's doing, in all humility, is wrong.
And for anybody to suggest that the majority was not reaching out, was not building consensus, that person was really getting it wrong. Because for a whole week, I know of prominent chiefs, very prominent and respected chiefs, who engaged my side and engaged Mr. Speaker and transmitted some communication to me. I won't mention their names. They transmitted some communications to me that Mr. Speaker was in fact even going to convene Parliament without our recall application and that I should reach out to him. I went to his residence two occasions. They said he was not available. Later, I communicated to that prominent chief. The prominent chief reached out to him. He picked his call, but he didn't pick my call. And then told me that, oh, Mr. Speaker says he's busy with some visiting speakers of African Parliament. So we should make it Monday morning, 10 o'clock. Monday, I spent my whole day in Parliament. Mr. Speaker was not available. Tuesday, same. Later in the afternoon, I was told that Mr. Speaker was challenging the awkwardness of the court. So he has instructed his lawyers to file a motion to set it aside. So we should go to court. When we return from court, we'll see what to be done. What should I do? I should go and sit on the minority seat, Spiritually, it's not even good. You have 3 weeks to election. I should go and sit on minority. Is that my seat? I won't sit there. I will never do it. I will never do it. That's not my rightful place. I should go to minority. Spiritually, make myself a minority person. No. And bind my colleagues. I repeat, our doors are open to Mr. Speaker's call. Political decisions are for common sense approach. We believe in a common sense approach in solving this. And the common sense approach is for Mr. Speaker to direct the NDC side to go back to their seats. In fact, on Friday, a former majority leader who had engaged Mr. Speaker had told me that Mr. Speaker wanted to have a meeting with me. I went to his secretariat. Mr. Speaker saw me. And then he said, oh, he wants to meet the two leaders. I said, okay. I reached out to my colleague, Dr. Atuforsen, that Mr. Speaker wanted to meet the two of us. Before I could say Jack, Mr. Speaker had moved his car and left. He had left. Atu also confirmed that Mr. Speaker said he wanted to meet us. Our phones are on. Mr. Speaker has several ways of reaching out to me, either directly by his call or his aides. My phone is on. I have not received any call.
And I want to bring in Professor Bafo Ejubindriade, is a former UN senior governance advisor, joining us live right now. You've just been listening there to Alexa Nathaniel Marking recounting his frustrations with an attempt to reach out to the speaker, reach some form of a truce on this matter. And remember, the parliament still remains indefinitely adjourned as a result of the confusion that has erupted on the back of the speaker's ruling, part of which will be settled in court tomorrow with a judgment. But the democracy really is at stake here. You've heard the Ansari make the point about a constitutional crisis that he says is very real. Professor Bafo Ejubindriade, you've just heard the Afenyo Marking. We are at an impasse. He is scratching his head wondering, how do I resolve this matter? What should I do? He's asking himself. You have any advice for him?
Well, yes. First of all, I think it's very unfortunate that this case has dragged this far to this level, where now tomorrow the Supreme Court has to make a pronouncement. I think it's very important. We're in a crisis, as Ansari said. We're in a crisis. So it's very important that we find a way to resolve this matter. The standoff is not good for our democracy. 3 weeks to election, and I'm sure there are a few government business that must be done before then, and now it's stalled. Government business is stalled. So I think all I can suggest to Mr. The minority or majority leader is that he shouldn't give up. And I think Mr. Speaker also must stand down on this matter. I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to go into the constitutionality of what's going on here. But the little I know, a speaker, when it comes to constitutional interpretation, cannot win over a Supreme Court, period. So I think if people are prevailing upon the speaker, he must please listen and become a statesman in this matter and gradually stand down for business to continue. If he says there's no crisis, he doesn't reflect on the ground. The fact is that Parliament is closed. So, please, we are seriously in the constitutional crisis. I don't recall any time where a Speaker of Parliament, I'm not talking about just Ghana, but where a Speaker and the Supreme Court stand in opposition to something like this. I think it's a little bit messy.
And you say that also on the day when we know that when the case was called today, the speaker and his lawyers were absent. He didn't file any case, although the last time when they were in court, he had asked for more time so he can get some advice and some counsel from the speaker. That didn't happen today. The Supreme Court obviously is going to go ahead without them in the matter. Reading in between the lines, do you reckon the speaker may be sending a message to the Supreme Court? He wants to stay out of this. I mean, there's a strong sense you get when you speak to his lawyers and, of course, those in the NDC, that the outcome of this case is predetermined. And so let's stay off. Let them go ahead and do what they want to do.
That's very unfortunate.
And maybe is the reason why they have stayed off filing any case in this particular matter.
Well,
But that shouldn't be the cause of it. If the process is already ongoing, and you were in the court the other day, and you expected to appear, filing your case and all, and all of a sudden you walk away without any notice, I don't know how in the court you interpret that kind of behavior. I don't know. That doesn't speak well. You see, but one thing I can remember is that the last time the speaker's attorney appeared, if you remember, the attorney general made a certain point that was a little bit troubling, saying that, in fact, the lawyer representing the speaker was illegitimate because apparently the procurement of that lawyer did not go through either the procurement agency or through the attorney general. So if he's coming again, he maybe doesn't want to repeat the illegality that you claim has been caused, you see. So, but no, nonetheless, I think the speaker must find a way to stand down for this country to begin a business. I think this is, doesn't speak well of our democracy. This confrontation, in my humble view, is unwarranted. It shouldn't have come this far at all.
Thank you very much, Professor Balfour Jimendu. And very briefly joining me is Samson Lada Yenini, lawyer, watching this unfold very closely. And Samson, very briefly on the subject of the speaker's lawyers not representing all in court today. The invitation was extended to the bench to take a dim view of it. They sort of rejected it. Where you stand, it doesn't affect the judgment that we expect will be delivered tomorrow, does it?
Again, if you have heard the speaker, where he says to the Chief Justice's very direct response that there is no constitutional crisis, you will, if you listen to him carefully and you consider everything that is going on, you will appreciate that it does appear the Speaker's position, just as his lawyer reported to the Chief Justice when the Chief Justice suggested that with the constitutional crisis, asserted so. The lawyer's response was that, I don't think this matter is intended to get Parliament to sit. So you could also look at it this way, that when this matter is eventually determined, supposing tomorrow the Supreme Court came and made a pronouncement that the declaration of the four seats vacant or the announcement of the four seats being vacant is wrong. The question is, does that get Parliament to sit? You think about it, because you may have heard also the minority suggest that, and the Speaker also has actually said it, that the NPP majority on alone will not be able to get the quorum you need to take a decision in that house. So it does look like this is not resolved by a court decision. Now, if in a civil matter, a lawyer or their representative don't appear, it is up to the court to decide what they do. But you cannot say that there is disrespect, and so the person or the lawyer must suffer some punishment. I think if you read the body language, particularly of the Attorney General, it does look like they seem to be bringing a certain encounter which is not related to this matter into the Supreme Court.
Mm.
Language and the body language.
Yeah, and we'll see what the Supreme Court says tomorrow as we anticipate the judgment will be delivered. Something, thank you very much. And I want to hear your thoughts on this on Newsnight in a short while. 0551111997.